Hello and welcome to the Celtic Women's Football Show. I was going to say the last of the season, but I suspect there will be one more where we do a full roundup of everything. I am your host, Claire Wild, and today I have got three of my favourite panellists with me. As usual, I have got Lorenzo Pacitti. Hello, Lorenzo.
Hi, Claire.
How are you doing?
Good. Perky still on a high from last week.
Good. Also, Lindsay Hamilton. Hi, Lindsay.
Hello.
How are you?
Right.
This is the second time we've recorded together this week. What a treat.
I know. Fed up. I'm kidding.
Right, swiftly moving on from you to my actual favourite person. We have in the room Brian McManus. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Claire. How are you?
I'm very well. We're delighted to have you back. How's it going?
It's going great. I'm totally buzzing about this. Like Lorenzo, I'm still on a high from last week. I'm wearing an Italy top in homage to my boy Lorenzo. Great score last night. And also as a wee nod to the beginning of our journey to Turin.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Lorenzo, I assume you were watching the match last night.
Yes, I am Irish, Claire, of course. But some nice feelings towards the Italians, them being my entire name. And I'm a small part of my family.
Just your name. Confused identity. we are here, of course, to speak about the final game of the season and where Celtic ended up when it all finished. Quickly before that, I just wanted to run through a bit of news that we've had. There's been a bit of news this week. We've had the SWF have finally, and I say finally because it has been a long time coming, they have had no CEO in place for almost, I would say, I don't know exactly, but it's been, I would say, at least a year. Eileen Campbell has been appointed. Brian, I just wanted to put that on because it feels important with this season that has felt really huge for the women's game to have someone actually now at the helm kind of driving things forward.
Absolutely, I couldn't agree more. And I think, was that the job spec that I sent you and asked you to apply for it?
Might have been a while ago.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was.
That job's been advertised for a long time.
Yeah, I remember seeing it and it was just there constantly. I think it's huge. And it's good that it is someone who's recognisable and has an interest in the sport as well. I think we'll have certainly a lot of contacts and it's a really good platform to, you know, open up the women's game to a wider audience and get the sort of exposure that we're all you know, talking about and hoping for.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Lindsay, we don't know how it's going to pan out. We don't know what she's going to do with some of the first things when she comes in. But one of the things we've talked about a lot this season is kind of how much more support we want for this league to get stronger, as well as obviously Celtic. Well, we want to play in a strong league.
Yeah, I was delighted when I seen it because we've worked with Eileen before within the museum.
Okay.
She was formerly, I don't know if she still is, but she was formerly the SNP Minister for Public Health and Sport. Mm-hmm. And she jumped on, I don't even think we asked her, I think she spotted our football memories project, the dementia project that I'm part of at work. And she was our ambassador right away. She came in and was at the museum. Speaks very, very well. Really cool person to have around. She sounds a bit daft for an MP, but she's actually really, really nice. And I was really happy when I saw her face pop up and the news get announced. I thought that's a good appointment because she's genuine. She's actually really genuine about it. Really is into her sport and sees the importance around about it. It's not just a sort of tick box, like not recognising the dementia project before anybody even really came to her about it. I think kind of speaks volume. I understand they're totally different things, but she kind of sees the positive outcomes, the power that sport can kind of have. And she is a woman. I think that's important that we didn't just go out and get some dude to come in and do the bit, and there's not a problem with that, is what it is. But I think it's nice that it's a woman that's taking on the role. I think we've put in the notes like kind of like what's the priority, and for me, social media. Aileen, push information, people need it.
Yeah, I think information,
and that's the best way to go about it. So I'm really genuinely happy about it.
Yeah, me too.
She's sound.
Yeah, I think information is probably one of the things that we've just felt has really made our jobs and probably anyone who wants to be a fan of women's football's jobs much trickier this season. So if we can improve that, it would be amazing. I'm going to move on, though. Lorenzo, Lisa Robertson got a start for the Scottish Women's National Women's Team the other day. Well-deserved, I think we would say.
Yeah, she's had such a great season and she's been maybe the most integral part of our brilliant campaign. So it was nice to see her get recognised earlier in the season, get called up to the squad, and now she seems to be going, you know, in the right direction, kind of cementing a place in that squad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was great to see, wasn't it, Brian? Did you watch any of that game? It wasn't the most scintillating game of football. I did have it switched on.
Yeah, no, I was out coaching this week, so I missed it, but I did, I think we won 1-0 from...
Yeah.
From memory. No, I didn't see it, but I think it is, you know, fully deserved. She is an absolute quality player. And I do think, you know, there's a lot of quality in the Scotland team as well. So, yeah, it's great to see her recognised for it.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other, Celtic player who we were going to mention, well, there's a couple actually, Lindsay, Kathleen McGovern has been doing, she's on loan at Hamilton Accies, and she seems to have been doing very well.
Yeah.
We were really thrilled when she kind of got that move just to get playing some football.
Yeah, she seemed buzzing. She'd been kind of putting a few tweets out over the past few months about how difficult she'd kind of been struggling with her football, it seems. So, yeah, she's 2 for 2. I did kind of have to laugh at the tweet, though, because I was like, how long are we going to do this? Support someone that's no longer at our football club. We're just going to keep running this until she... Yeah, I don't know. I just thought it was quite funny. But so I think I'd check back. Accies beat Queen's Park 5-0.
Yeah.
And Glasgow Girls 2-0. So it seems to be a good move, a strong move for her. She's going to get game time, especially if she keeps scoring goals. She'll definitely get the game time. So, yeah, tough for her. I think it's a good place to go and play your football. She's still so young.
Yeah. Technically, she's still our player as well.
Yeah, exactly. So it'd be good to kind of keep tabs. I mean, keep tabs. I wouldn't go and celebrate every goal that she scores every week for Accies, but I think it is. I think it's a really key move. I've also nicknamed her the McGovernor. Just wanted to put that out there. That's
well
on my
done,
notes.
Lindsay.
Can I just ask, Lindsay, is there any female player you don't have a nickname for?
Nah, man.
I mean, in the world, not just Celtic, like in the world.
Just everybody. I don't do first names. I give you a nickname, and that's it. When you look, it's a nice nickname. But no, I used to coach Kathleen, and we used to call her McGov. And I was like, let's call her McGovernor, because she's now a grown up and she's bossing it, so my governor is.
That's great. That. But also, Lorenzo, the other thing about that is I think Hamilton Accies are sitting second in SWPL2 now, and it's kind of interesting to keep our eye on that league anyway, because the top two teams from there are going to be coming up into SWPL1, so it's kind of without any relegation, so that to make it a 10-team league. So it's interesting to see, you know, to have an excuse to kind of see one of our players playing there and what the outcome of that might be.
Yeah, I haven't seen enough or any SWPL2 football to know if these two teams are going to come up are going to immediately be better than the, you know, who's at the bottom of SWPL1. But McGovern's got an outrageous SWPL goal record.
Yeah.
And I feel like she's going to keep adding to it when she's away. So I definitely hope she comes back. I know sometimes when Celtic foreign players are on loan, you kind of think that's the end of them. But hopefully in this case, it's just literally get some game time. Our season's done. She comes back at the start of our next season and she can maybe kick on a bit.
Yeah. Another player that we has moved on, Lindsay, is Kiva Keenan. We got the news this week that she has ended her relationship with Celtic as a player. How did you feel about that when you saw that news? Were you surprised?
Well, it made me look a ball bag after saying in last week's podcast, hopefully we'll see more of Kiva Keenan. to be honest, I was a wee bit shocked. I didn't really see that happen. I know she hasn't really played so much, but I still think, I feel like they've done it again. I went and I ran about this at the deep dive, as you know, about how we let go of big characters.
Yeah.
And it just pisses me off. I think you only have to be in social media for 5 minutes on Instagram to see how kind of popular she is. She seems very well liked around the dressing room. I hate saying this phrase because it's a pure Celtic da phrase, but she gets it. She gets it. And I was a wee bit surprised, I'm not going to lie, and I did kind of want to see more of her.
Yeah.
Highlights for me this season was probably her against Rangers, the first two Rangers games. I thought she was great in both of those. And yeah, I don't know. It's a bit of a loss. I think she wasn't probably going to be in the starting 11 even next season. The first pick with Warrington playing so well, but it's always good to have a rotation, and she's a solid rotation, and she's quite versatile. She can play a couple of positions as well. So yeah, whoever gets her is getting a good player. I know that she played, well, she's in the Ireland squad right now, because they lost 3-2 to Iceland, it was, yesterday. They were 2-0 down at halftime. She never played. She was a sub and didn't get on, but yeah. Good luck to her and whatever her next move is. I think it's a bit of a loss, if I'm being honest. But yeah, we move on. Yeah.
Brian, what were your feelings about that? Were you surprised? I mean, we'll come on to talk generally a bit more about recruitment, but there's bound to be a bit of kind of coming and going at this point, isn't there, now that the season's come to an end? Was Kiva someone that you would have expected to see go?
Probably as much as I didn't want it, but I think when she came back from international duty, you know, a number of weeks ago, she was away with Ireland, and then she just didn't seem to feature at all. It was all a bit strange. I do think she's, you know, a player that we probably should have retained, like Lindsay said, you know, for her versatility and the fact that, you know, that even if it was as a backup, it's a quality backup to have. So was a bit surprised, but in terms of the way Fran plays, and even, you know, I know we're going to talk about next week, but the way he has no problem with bringing, you know, blood and youngsters and stuff like that, we might get down a different track in terms of recruitment. So maybe he is looking to move a few players on to open up, you know, potential opportunities for others that we already have at the club.
Yeah. And also the other thing, we don't know what's going on behind the scenes for her. You know, this move might have been on the cards for a bit, which is maybe why she wasn't being played as much. And, you know, there could have been things going on about where she wants to be and stuff. So it's always important to bear that in mind, I think. And talking about things going on in the background and players' personal lives, Sarah Teagarden, congratulations. She's married, Lorenzo.
This is huge. This is as big as Champions League football for me. You know, a lot of people wrote off Sarah Teagarden having a wedding at the end of all this. No, but this is what we talk about the Celtic team. You know, they'll tough it out, they'll get the job done. So, you know,
tenacity to get down that aisle.
Exactly, she's done it. So, you know, what a job Fran is doing. Many congrats to Sarah.
Absolutely. To be fair, though, it did last longer than the whole season.
I mean, definitely we're sending congratulations, but yeah, absolutely thrilled that that's got over the line. And in slightly less important news. Motherwell, we played Motherwell. Lindsay, you were at the game. Yeah. Talk us through that, just in terms of how that felt to be able to be at that game, such a big occasion. Was there a sense of occasion? What was the vibe when you turned up?
Confusion. So I'll tell you, we actually never told you this, but we turned up. We hadn't even got out of the car. I drove in, there was wee guy, high vis vest, rolled down the window, and he was like, I said 90 minutes cynic, Lindsay Hamilton, it's usually your name. So I was like, might say Claire Wild. And the guy was like, yep, you're like the rest of the guys, you're new on the list. And I went, sorry. And there was just a team of us, like all the Celtic fan media, but all the media basically, apart from the BBC and such, like, had not been placed on this list. Oh, and we were like, right. I was like, and what is the absolute, like, betting on none of us getting in here and we'll have to rush back to your gaff to watch this game? Well, the wins. And which would have been fine. But, yeah. So we had to go to the front door. Then this other guy sent us round to the side and they basically just added our names. It took our temperature and went, right, fine, we'll take a name and a contact, and that was it.
Oh my goodness.
It was a pure nightmare. So but we got in. So there was just lots of confusion. Then they papped us in the top corner and I was a bit like, oh, this view is going to be a bit grim. But as soon as we had a bit of height, we were fine. We seen everything. There was a pure buzz about the place, if I'm being completely honest. Then we got the news. So one of my friends, guy I used to coach with Celtic, Michael, was there and really helped us out because he's still coaching. So he knew a lot of the young players, because as soon as we got in, he was like, yeah, what about the COVID cases? And I went, what? Had no idea what he was talking about. So obviously we hadn't checked social media because we were scrambling to try and get into the game. And I was like, what are you talking about? And he says, aye, six of them I think are out. I honestly thought he was banging me up because I've not seen him in a while. And I was like, mate, where are you going? He was like, I'm telling you, there's six of them out, that the young ones are playing today. That's why I'm here. And right enough, got to our seats and realised that's what was happening. You could even tell in the warm-up, I was like looking about going, there's no Mariah. There's no Jacinta. I was like, what the hell?
What's
like,
going on?
Actually happening? So there was a wee bit of nerves with that because I think there was pressure around the boat and I was like, that's a lot for young ones to come in and deal with. But honestly, as soon as, I know we're going to talk about the goals, but as soon as Nicholson scored, we all went mental. Like, now Fran's reaction, and probably people saw that in an empty stadium and thought, he's off, he's not. But every single one of us in the corner went absolutely ton. And A, because there was relief.
Yeah.
B, it was an absolute nailer of a goal.
Yeah.
And we were all kind of along there with him. I mean, he went absolutely OTT, but it was a moment. It was good. Coming into the game, we thought, we'll just get in. I'll bump on the socials. No bother at all. And then it was pure mayhem. We hadn't even stepped foot out of the car. And the guy was like, yeah, you aren't on the list. Join the rest of them at the mob at the front door who were trying to get
in. I'll be honest with you, Lindsay, this story does not surprise me or shock me any way.
It didn't surprise me either. Like, we were and I was like, oh, well, Aaron, we might need to go back to yours. We'll get a takeaway because he was a wee bit, it wasn't hanging really bad, but it'd been on the beers the night before. And we'd kind of resigned ourselves to the fact we're just going to have to go back to the house and watch this. But we got in, it was nice and sunny. There was lots of fan media there. So there was actually a wee bit of a crowd even with that, which was nice because obviously it was stupid that they didn't allow people in. But they could not get us out quick enough, by the way.
Really?
Oh my God. And I went to take a seat at the halfway line and this woman came up to us and was like, no, media has to go over there, have to go over there. And I was a bit like, I mean, COVID isn't going to care where we sit, to be honest with you. But that's fine. We'll go and sit together rather than
spreading out
the place. I was like, that's excellent. And then at the end of the game, oh my God, they were trying to shift us. It was a bit mental, but...
Yeah, it did feel, to be fair to Celtic and Motherwell, because that was the Airdrie Stadium, wasn't it? And it felt like they were facing quite a lot of hostility in terms of hosting.
They didn't have any control over it, really. I don't mean that as in, like, they weren't managing it well. I just mean it's not theirs. It's not their ground. Yeah. So it's not their rules to play with. It's Airdrie's. And, I think it just caused a bit of mayhem and a bit of lack of communication, I think, between three parties trying to organise it. But there was a good wee atmosphere among the ones that was there. And as I'm saying, having Michael there was good because he knew all the names of the young ones. And he was the one that gave us the bit of info about, what's his name? Was it Bertrell?
Burchell's daughter.
Yeah, Mark Burchell's daughter. And I was like, that's Tyree. A good wee snippet to put on the thing. And then I heard a few of the fan medias round about being like, oh, it's Mark Burchell's daughter. broke that bit of news. So it was handy having him there, to be fair, because I'd have been scrambling about trying to get info and stuff for the lassies.
Yeah.
But it all's well that ends.
I'm glad you managed to see it. In real life. Brian,
same.
Brian, how were you watching the game? How have you seen it? And how were you feeling? And let's like encompass that with when you heard the COVID news as well.
It was bizarre. Like last Sunday, I had been, like, I was drinking a wee bit on Saturday night. So Sunday was a wee bit rough, but it was a nice day. And, you know, 10 past four, seemed an age to actually get there. But chilling out for a bit, getting the build up, you know, refreshing Twitter and stuff, and then obviously it's hopeless, but anyway, we'll just gloss over that. I was really looking forward to it, and then the COVID news broke and you're just like, what's going on? Because I know we spoke about it in the chat, where an away game against Motherwell in the last game of the season, for us to win something or get something has maybe not worked out well for Celtic in the past. So I had this in my head, and despite thinking we should win this, I had all these connotations going on as that we were going to do something stupid. And then that breaks with all the COVID stuff that Celtic has had to deal with this year. And I was just on an absolute nerve. I was a nervous wreck before it. But then you look at the lineup and you're like, right, okay, we've got a really, really solid spine there. It's not, you know, I shouldn't be too worried about it. But we're Celtic fans, you just get nervous anyway.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, I was watching it on my phone and I had the Glasgow City game on for a wee bit, just to keep an eye on it. But then I ditched that very quickly and just focused on us, particularly as soon as that goal went in, and then you get the confidence up, you know, getting that goal in, what was it, like 4.5 minutes or something. And it was fantastic. And then just after that, it was a total buzz. It was great. Loved every minute of it.
Amazing. Lorenzo, were you as nervous as Brian was, or were you just up for it and ready to see 8 goals go in?
Never.
Well, I was looking for 10, but 8 was fine. But I had no fear of the win, to be honest. When I saw the COVID news, I was like, oh, that's a nightmare. But I was more upset for some of the names that have been involved so much throughout the season, having to miss that big game. But like Brian said about the spine, as soon as I saw, you know, we had 2 of our 3 top quality centre-backs, we had Lisa Robertson, we had Sarah Younes, I was like, well, we'll win. You know, we'll win. I didn't think we'd win 8-0 once I saw the COVID news. I thought there'd just be too much chopping and changing last minute. I thought to come out and win 8-0 was incredible after all that kind of change. But no, I honestly, this team have made me very, very confident in these big games, and the squad had more than enough about it to deal with those COVID absences, which says a lot about the depth in the squad and Fran's trust in a lot of these rotational players kind of paying off when he needs them.
Yeah, absolutely. The fact that they've, you know, players like Rebecca McAllister and Tegan Bowie having had a considerable amount of time on the pitch is a huge thing when it comes to, you know, needing these contingencies. I was kind of in the situation, I was scrambling to get the beginning of the game because I was away with family and I was basically wanting them to just all leave the room and trying to like, so I was checking and I saw it and I, because of the way I was watching it and I only was just going to be able to switch it on as it started, basically, I didn't really have time to worry. But at the same as you guys, I just looked at it and went, I sort of had an initial like shock and a panic and then went, oh no, this is fine. Kelly Clark, Chloe Craig, Lisa Robertson, Sarah Ewens, Anna Philby, this is going to be absolutely fine. And it was just seeing those, you know, unfamiliar names on the bench, really.
I think it was, sorry, jumping, but if I'd knew before the game what Fran had said, that he'd never seen them play before, I think I would have been like, shit. I mean, that makes complete sense, because why would he, in the middle of COVID, you wouldn't be going and watching the academy and all that stuff. But I did kind of chuckle a wee bit when he was like, I never saw them play. I was like, cool, man. Just a huge, huge game. And they all did really well, to be fair.
And also, I mean, we'll come on to it as well. The lineup was as follows. We had Chloe Logan, Chloe Craig, Lisa Robertson, Sarah Ewens, Kelly Clark, Kate Nicholson, London Pollard, Anna Philby, Chloe Warrington, Tegan Bowie, and Rebecca McAllister. And then on the bench, I think I only knew 2 names, which were Rachel Donaldson and Maria McKennany. And then we had Morgan Graham, Olivia Potter, Tyree Burchill, and Charlotte Terry, which were all, I think, academy players who were drafted in. And as Lindsay said, Fran afterwards said that he hadn't actually met them or seen them play before, which is kind of an extraordinary situation to find yourself in. So in terms of that lineup and going out onto the pitch, Lorenzo, the overall performance, what were your thoughts on that?
Great. Again, early goal is what you wanted. As soon as we get an early goal, you just knew that was it done.
Yeah.
We're not going to stop now. And as I've shown in recent months, if they get an early goal, they really keep their foot on the gas and they are ruthless. Uh-huh. And again, we had a goal target and we smashed it nice and early. Uh-huh. And again, that gave us even more freedom to play where, you know, everything's out of their hands all of a sudden. We've hit our goal target. Let's just get some minutes in these young players and let's have fun and end the season on a high.
Yeah, absolutely. It was really enjoyable to watch, wasn't it, Brian?
It was fantastic. You know, when it was like Lorenzo said, you obviously have a goal target in mind. You know, getting over the nerves, I just wanted to win, you know, because of that achievement to get a Champions League place, considering what we're up against this season in terms of the investment Rangers have put in, who, you know, I very rarely say this, but Rangers are a good team. And, you know, Glasgow City, with all their experience, for Celtic to sort of get that second spot is massive. So that was really my focus. I think I didn't really have a thought that Glasgow City were going to throw it away. But as soon as you get the third and then the fourth, and then there's that wee chink of light, and you think, you know, is this a kind of Love Street 86 moment where we're going to, you know, something spectacular is going to happen? And it was just great to really enjoy the game. After the first, you know, 4 minutes, that goal goes in. And you can just relax and enjoy it. And like Lorenzo said, it was fun. You know, it was really, really enjoyable to watch, which being a Celtic fan this season hasn't really happened that often. So yeah. It was brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know about, so obviously you were at the game, Lindsay, so you wouldn't have, we had the Glasgow City game on as well. You would have been keeping an eye on that as well. For me, we were keeping an eye on that. And then sort of once Glasgow City, they got a goal, and then especially once they'd got their second goal, that almost made me not relax more, but I just thought, right, this, we were winning, they were winning, this is how this is going to pan out. And like, just, it was just an enjoyable game of football to watch at that point.
Yeah, we were getting updates. My mate Jason was covering the Glasgow City game, so he was like, I'll message you. And then, as I'm saying, it was all fan media around about. Some of them were watching it on their phones while watching the game on the pitch as well. So we kind of were constantly getting updates about it. But I'll be honest, before the game, I was like, I felt like the City Rangers game was a bit of a coin toss. I thought, why not? Why can Rangers not go and win? I'd said to Erin in the car, it's my fault, because I said to Erin in the car,
here we go.
Damn care, 1-0. And he's like, right, okay. Just blind faith and optimism. But yeah, I don't know. I did think before the game, why can they not go and get a result? But at the end of the day, I think I'd said in the previous podcast, if the lassies are having fun, we're having fun, they're going to win the game. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what panned out. So I was chuffed. I was really, really chuffed. I just wanted them to get what they deserved, which was European football. So win the game and get your reward, because they've worked incredibly hard this season, incredibly hard. And I think we've scared City a wee bit.
Yeah.
Especially the chat that's came out since about how they were written off. I mean, were all three of us written off? I don't know. I feel like it was us that were written off after City had beaten us, A, in the first game,
yeah,
and then B, when we'd returned. So I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, maybe they felt like they were written off. But yeah, I don't know. I think they're maybe quite surprised at how quickly Celtic and Rangers together are due.
Yeah,
mobilised, I suppose. Really, mobilised.
The group,
is that the word? Yeah, we'll go with that. Transformed,
amassing their armies to take over Glasgow.
Yes, Glasgow is green and white. We have mobilised. But yeah, I definitely think, I think I'm quite surprised. There's kind of, I think Brian was sort of alluding to there. Like, I'm quite surprised at how quickly we went and taking Champions League football, if I'm being totally honest. So yeah, especially how close it was, so close. Like, even our games against Rangers, you only need to look at all three of those results and the course of the 90 minutes to look at how narrow it was, and how fine the margin was. And we've been pure ballsy and taking it. We've been absolutely gallus. And yeah, I like the way it's going. I like the look of the trajectory. And hopefully,
stop saying big words and stuff. Like, you're just throwing loads of words. You went from Gallus to trajectory.
This is what happens. See, if you get me at the end of the day and we do a pod at 5 at night, then you don't get any of this. But it's 10 in the morning.
This is Lindsay time.
I've had my breakfast and 3 cups of tea. I'm alive.
Amazing.
I like it. I like the way that we're looking. And yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. At the end of the day, City have won 14 titles in a row. Can I take that from them? But I think we've shocked them a wee bit.
Yeah.
If I'm being honest.
That definitely feels like the landscape has changed, doesn't it? I mean, that's what we're dealing with going into next season, and obviously going into European football for the first time, which is hugely, hugely exciting. We'll talk a little bit more about what that means in a minute, but just to focus back on this game for a second. Both the others have talked, Lorenzo, about that importance of that first goal and getting that kind of over the line to sort of allow the players to relax and have fun and enjoy the rest of the game. I want to talk about that first goal because I've watched it loads of times. It was an absolute belter, was it not, from Kate Nicholson?
Yeah. You just kind of... Nicholson's a funny player, because every time I watch Nicholson, I mean, she is a versatile player. She does play in a bunch of different positions. And no matter what I see in the starting 11, mainly because it's never an order position, I'm never quite sure where she's playing.
Yeah.
Because she does get everywhere, and she's got this amazing, particularly when you're playing teams that have a lot of young girls in them down the leagues, she just looks a lot bigger. She's a lot taller, she's a lot stronger than all these girls. And the way she kind of just stepped into that open space. Mm-hmm. And then again, she's a young player that's been given time by Fran, so she was full of confidence. Mm-hmm. What young player in the most important game of the season has that dig from there? You know?
Yeah, I know. Absolutely amazing. Because the ball, Chloe Craig was running down with the ball. She sends it to London Pollard, who crosses it. It gets picked up by a Motherwell player, at which point you kind of think, oh, okay, we're kind of starting again here. We'll go. And the Motherwell player lobs it up the park. It lands at Kate Nicholson's feet. And there's this kind of second, isn't there, Lindsay, where you can just sort of hear, see, like it's as if the cogs in her brain go, right, I'll just have a go.
It's absolutely one of those ones where if there was a crowd, you'd have heard the seats. Oh, if there was a crowd, you'd have heard the seats before you saw it going into the back of the net. Like I moved forward in my seat and went, hit it. There was a little sort of group of us that were like, just hit it, smack it. And it just sat up nicely. You could just see it. I just want to say something because it's in my head now. I'll probably regret saying it. But after Lorenzo's just said that about her just being everywhere and not, like, she doesn't really stick. She doesn't. Tommy Gravison. See, as soon as you said that, that's all I could think of was mine, Tommy Gravison. That's probably the one thing that sticks in my head was him scoring against Rangers at Ibrox, I think it was. Uh-huh. Was it away? I think it was at Ibrox.
I think he scored at Celtic Park as well when he bundled a Celtic player into his own
net. Shite. But just in the sense of, because I don't want to insult Nicholson, because let's be honest, Gravison wasn't the best Celtic player in the world, but just that, like, never sticking to it, just a bit of a maverick, just going about being where they want to be, where they need to be, and pulling out mad worldies just every now and again. Yeah, that's who I thought of there. She probably doesn't at all play like Tommy Gravison, but as soon as Leon just said that, I was like, Tommy Gravison.
And Brian, just having that dig from there, you know, the presence of mind for a player as young as her, I think she's still 17, to do that, but also the technique to just the way it floated over the keeper and went in the back of the net, it was a beautiful thing to watch.
It was great, but it was one of those kind of slow motion goals as well, where I was sitting watching it and it's as if it took forever to go in. And then I remember first thing I did was just type yes in the group chat, and it was a thing of beauty. It was fantastic, and it's for a whole range of things where that was the changing point for my emotions, when I could just settle down. And yeah, and I think that would have, you know, obviously settled the team as well. And for that, it was exquisite. It was fantastic.
Mm-hmm. So that was 5 minutes. At 9 minutes, Sarah Ewins comes in and scores a goal, which didn't look spectacular. It came to her feet.
Poke, poke.
Yeah. And it went in. And so we're two ahead by under 10 minutes, which is a great thing to have. The next two goals I wanted to talk about, just because both of them, Lorenzo, came from crosses from Tegan Bowie, who is obviously one of the younger players who was put into the squad by Fran. She was, you know, the fast runs. She's getting those balls pretty accurate into the box. What were your thoughts on them? Obviously, yeah. it was Anna Philby and Chloe Craig who ended up on the end of those.
We talk so much about how the Celtic team gets on the end of crosses and set pieces, and it's clearly a big part of our game, and we play with a lot of width. Mm-hmm. And Tegan Bowie's one of these young players that's behind a lot of our established starters. But when she gets her chance, she's been great the whole season. Mm-hmm. And I thought she was brilliant against Motherwell. Yeah. And that way, when the first goal goes in and you're the much better side, when heads start to drop in the opposition, Tegan Bowie's one of the main ones that keeps her foot on the gas, and she's running like mad. And it must have been a nightmare, you know, to be that Motherwell right back, just facing somebody so hungry, and they get their chance to play and they're playing in a team that's about to achieve Champions League and achieve their goal. So she was just so up for it the whole game. Mm-hmm. I think she'll be a really important player going forward for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Brian, thoughts on that? She's fast as well, isn't she?
Yeah, she's great. And it's funny, I remember we watched her, I think she came on as a sub for a debut against, I want to say Glasgow City, but I remember me and Aaron chatting about it afterwards. And both of us saying she's a player. You know, she's you could tell technique, speed, and her willingness to get forward and take the ball, you know, be confident. And it's brilliant to see how she's developed through the season. I thought that the third goal was great. I thought the fourth goal was fantastic. You know, the play kind of down the left between, I think it was Kelly Clark that started it, played to Sarah Ewens. You could see Bowie making the run. Ewens plays in a great ball, and then the cut back to, I think it was Chloe Craig that finished that one.
Yeah.
It was a fantastic goal. But yeah, the development of Teagan Bowie has been brilliant. And again, that's testament to the way Fran has you know, rotated the team. Because mm-hmm. I know, certainly initially when we returned, we were a wee bit concerned about how many changes. And I know we've spoke about it before, you could never guess the lineup. But you know what? It's worked for us, and it's totally, you know, turned out to be all the right decisions he's made. And yeah, I just want to say again, I love Fran Alonso.
It kind of did all come together, didn't it, for him, Lindsay, in this game, because all those, like we've said, having that depth of squad, having had those players, you know, on the park. London Pollard comes on and scores the sixth goal. She doesn't come on, she started, but that was a weird goal. The keeper made a mistake essentially there, but she managed to get her first goal, which was really good to see as a new member of the squad.
Yeah, it was our first Celtic goal, and I think our fourth overall, because obviously she previously played at fourth. Oh, hope yeah. I got that right. But do you know what? The keeper did fumble it, but again, it's a set piece.
Yeah,
it's another fantastic ball in for Robocop. I did not deal with it. So stop laughing at me. yeah, and she just chips it in. It's just a nice wee cool finish. I actually thought Pollard was good. I think there's just a wee bit of a, what's the word? A end product. She kinda gets herself in some decent positions. And then it's maybe just intercepted or I mean, we saw her first game that she came on, she should have scored. Who we played? Was it Kay Park? She was one on one with the keeper. I cannot mind who the game was, but she was one on one, and that's what I mean about the end product. Like it should have been buried, and it just wasn't. But again, she's so young. But I think as soon as she starts to get that end product, I know to go back, but we were just talking about Teagan Bowie. Teagan Bowie has been great all season, but the thing about Teagan at the weekend was it was this confident performance. That's what kind of Teagan I think lacks sometimes. She maybe gets in her head a little bit. Again, she's a young player, and the difference we had at the weekend and just this huge performance, it was huge, was she just played with absolutely no fear and did what she does. Mm-hmm. She did, you know, she could play in her slippers against that. And that's what I want to see from Pollard, because I think it is just this confidence. I don't know if she's maybe in the mentality perhaps of coming for this, you know, coming new into this big team. Big football club.
I mean, she's come into this squad relatively late. She is only 16, and she's come in.
She's mad.
Lorenzo, she kind of, but it looks like that. She looks a bit like a deer in the headlights quite a lot of the time. And that's not a criticism of her. It's just a kind of thing that you see on the pitch. And like Lindsay's saying, I have absolute belief that she will grow into that role.
Mm-hmm. Pollard is such a funny one to me. I think she's class. I really like watching her. I think for a 16-year-old, she has all her issues are kind of good issues to have at 16, because she does all the hard stuff really well. Mm-hmm. Like, she runs off the last defender so well. The amount of times Pollard has just released back a Lisa Robertson pass or whatever, and the few times she's played, if she had a bit more about her finishing, she could have a few goals by now.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if it's there. Like, we talk about, she just seems almost that Edward way of just like, she's blank on the pitch in a great way. I think she's, maybe it's not confidence, but it's this, I don't think she gets too nervous, but it maybe makes her take a few extra touches just because she's not, maybe that anxiety would make her take a first shot at goal, you know, or rush a finish. Because there were a few times in that game, I mean, there's a time where she had essentially an open goal. If she turned around and faced the goal, she had her back to the, she had like, she was shielding the ball from a keeper that was already running back to her goal. If she just turned around, she had an open goal. Yeah. So maybe she thinks about things a wee bit too much, but
that's probably
an experience. She does the hard stuff really well.
Yeah. That's probably just an experience thing as well, isn't it? She's not, she's probably one of the least experienced players in that squad. Who's
16 is outrageously young. You know, and she's playing with great players, and she's playing behind somebody like Sarah Ewens, who scores goals for fun up here, and she'll start soaking all that in. And just give him more game time. I think she'll find that kind of confidence to just put her foot through it sometimes.
Yeah.
And I think she'll be a great player.
Absolutely. I'm losing count now. Seventh? sixth, seventh.
We're on. Philby's the sixth.
She's the sixth, yeah. Clark's the seventh.
Philby's the sixth.
I think in terms of that sixth goal, though, talking about Lyndon Pollard,
I've actually got that wrong. It was the fifth so goal.
Yeah, where she basically just bullies a Motherwell player, takes the ball off her. Great ball through to Philby, who takes it by the goalie, although the goalie's absolutely in no man's land. Like, I don't know why the goalie's out that far. But the way Lyndon Pollard wins that ball, and I think that is, you know, a real attribute she has, how strong she is for someone so young. I've seen it in the other games she's played as well. Her strength is unbelievable. But yeah, I thought the sixth goal, she done so well with that.
Yeah, that Anna Philby goal is probably my second favourite goal of the game. I don't know, Lorenzo, what your thoughts are on that. I love Anna Philby as a player, and just the way she's just so cool as she puts it in the back of the net. As Brian said, what's the keeper doing? But hey.
Yeah, Anna Philby has, we were talking about the things London is missing in terms of experience and age and confidence that comes with being just a seasoned pro. Philby is such a pro. Everything Philby does is top drawer. She doesn't seem to have a second thought. If she sees a ball coming towards her, it takes her half a second to decide what the next three or four moves are going to be.
Yeah.
And it was great to see her get another couple goals because she's just been so good this season. I'm praying we get her permanently. I can only assume we are.
But yeah, fingers very much crossed for that. I'll be really sad to see her go if she doesn't stick around. So then the final two, probably quite meaningfully, go to Kelly Clark and Lisa Robertson. You could see, Lindsay, how thrilled Kelly was to get, you know, that seventh goal and, you know, well, to be the captain and score in that important game.
Yeah. Well, Brian's just said how strong Pollard is. Clark pushed Pollard out of the way to get to win the header to score the goal. She was like, move hen, I'm scoring the seventh out the way. It's a great wee header, and Robocop provides the perfect cross, which is just, what's the word? Oh, no, I'm lost for words. You've burnt me out. trademark Robertson cross corner. It was just great. And I was delighted. To be fair, like, Chloe Craig, Sarah Ewens, Clark and Robbo getting on the score sheet was great. Just really, really enjoyable. So yeah, buzzing for Clark, as I said, she's like, shoves Pollard out the way to go and get her goal. Fine header. And I just thought, of set pieces, man. It makes me so happy because it's something that it's like a Celtic staple, I feel like, set pieces. Like, we've always been that way and we've just not seen it at all and for the boys this season. So it's been nice to see it practically every second goal with the lassies, just utilising set pieces and getting on the end of crosses and, yeah. Great, but I buzzing for Kelly. I thought she played really, really well, actually. They all did. I know I do that every week. I'm like, player of the match, starting 11, everybody, but Fran Alonso and all. But like, I did. I thought she played really, really well. And obviously kept things well organised with the changes and such like. So yes, yeah. buzzing for her. It was great.
Brian, that last goal, Lisa Robertson, it was a strange one because it was kind of bouncing around all over the place. At the mouth of the goal. I thought Maria McKennie was going to get a goal at one point and then it kind of bounces out and it's Lisa Robertson who ends up just being in the right place at the right time, as Lisa Robertson so frequently is, to finish it off.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it was Chloe Warrington that hit the post. Like, and I thought she was really unlucky. And like you say, there's a bit of a scramble. And it just felt fitting. You know, last goal of the season, Lisa Robertson puts it in, being in the right place at the right time. A really, really nice finish as well. So, yeah, I think it was just a perfect way to round off the day. Then, obviously, because you're so comfortable in terms of the academy players, you know, coming on as well. I think it was Tyree Birchall that came on first, and then I think Fran made about three changes in about 80-odd minute or something. And for players that he's never seen before, actually just saying, you know, go and enjoy your day, be part of this, I think it's just fantastic.
Yeah, I was going to come on to that, Lorenzo, and what Brian's just touched on there, the fact that he had those subs. He could have just kept the strongest players on the pitch right to the end of the game, but he gave those players a chance to be part of something huge. It must have been massive for them.
Yeah, it's not something you ever see. It's obviously a very rare team gets a chance to do that, but, you know, if Celtic have done it in the men's team where we'll bring on you know, like a Jack Aitchison, and he'll score and then we'll never see him again.
Motherwell, again, that was actually...
You know, it's stuff like that, and it's... but you don't think that with Fran, and obviously it was kind of forced upon him, because obviously if we'd had a full squad, he'd have rotated them players that played the whole season just to give them their run out. It was very like, you know, me on Football Manager playing Motherwell in a cup game or something like that. I'd just put the 15-year-olds on when we're already 4-0 up. But obviously, you know, a luxury to be able to do that, but what a day for them it must have been.
Yeah, and absolutely shows as well, Lindsay, the trust he's got in the rest of those players on the pitch to kind of hold things up and support the young ones when they do come on.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm assuming, so Olivia and Tyree had both played in the under-15s game literally the day before in Newcastle. So he maybe, I don't know who the under-15s coach or whatever is, but maybe it was a conversation to say, right, who's big enough to come up and step up to this level and play. So
you should have jumped down to the bench, Lindsay. You should have.
Do you know, I considered it. I thought, why have I not got my hoop stop on? Like, why have I not done that today? Should have came in full kit and been like, right, boss.
Don't worry, I'm here.
Just stick me in there with RoboCop. We'll be fine. We'll be all good. Don't worry yourselves. that'd have been class. Might do that next season. Watch this space. Lindsay Hamilton infiltrates the Celtic starting 11. Shut up, Lindsay. Right, so... No, do you know, the last goal, just when we were on it, but I was really chuffed with it because Robbo had a couple of shots for the edge. She was pure desperate for this goal. Mm-hmm. And it's just nice. I think it was McKennie, who picks up on the edge on the right, starts the move. Well, actually, RoboCop started the move, played it out to on the right. Gets played in. Lisa Robertson touched it, Warrington hits the post, and Rebecca McAllister then tries, and I was just buzzing that it went in with Lisa Robertson. It was just a good moment, and then obviously after that, she's qualified for Champions League. She gets picked for Scotland's women national team, and she's just having a bit of a season, isn't she? She's going to be named Player of the Year as well. Voted for her, if you haven't done it yet.
I think it's Player of the Month voting that's happening for the...
Oh, I thought they were doing an annual one.
I haven't seen...
On the Celtic Awards, you can vote.
Oh, aye. Yeah, that must have been what it was. So I was just really chuffed with it, and the young players getting on was just great. Imagine beating Scotland 2-1 the day before. Driving up from Newcastle, getting the news, right, you're going to play for Celtic tomorrow in a game that qualifies them for the Champions League. I'm putting my other hat on here, but as somebody that's, you know, my Glasgow football tears and stuff, every time I describe it, people always ask, what's your business, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, every city I go to, every game I go to, I'm going story searching. There's a history developing in front of your very eyes. And the big story in the last day is that four under-15s went and played to qualify for the Champions League. And it's a strange one because the photo at the end, you've seen the team pictures, Angus sent us the photo and stuff at the end. And there's a couple of faces in there that you go, who's that? Who's that? Who's that? And at the end of the day, somebody will see it in 20 years' time. And there's a story there.
Yeah.
And I think that's brilliant. And these things happen. The unexpected is the best part about football. You never, ever know the minute. And what a story for those young people to get a free pint in 20, 30 years' time and they go, that game qualified Celtic for the first ever Champions League. I played in that game. I love a bit of history. It's class.
That's such a beautiful way of thinking about it as well, Lindsay. And Brian, just to kind of build on that, the next segue, that segues beautifully into, we're in Champions League football. This is hugely historic for Celtic. You know, what does it mean for this Celtic side?
Everything. You know, it's something... I think if we're being realistic about it, we probably didn't expect it. And there was some occasions this year where we were getting wins, but it felt like we were toiling a wee bit. But, you know, the games against Rangers this year have been massive. You know, despite the taking the whitewash away from it, or green and whitewash... Getting those victories are obviously what, you know, what put us in the Champions League spot. This is huge, and it allows the team to develop. Hopefully, you know, Fran will stay. You know, it's not as if I'm saying he's going to leave, but this will also like show him what he's capable of. Because obviously, listen to the interviews we've had with him early in the season, and he made some big demands, I think, of the club. But, you know, he's now held up his side of the bargain. Yeah. And it's time for the club to support him and the women's team. You know, give them more investment. Get them away from K-Park, you know. And I know that we are building to that, but actually give them the recognition they deserve. And having Champions League gives, you know, Fran and the coaching staff that sort of that bargaining power, you know, to say, look, this is what we're achieving with probably, you know, nowhere near the level of investment the Rangers have put in, not having probably the level of experience and so on that City have. But he's done this in his first year with everything else we've had to contend with. And this is really, really exciting times. Mm. And the big thing is now that Celtic have to get behind us. They have to, you know, this isn't just a wee part of the club. This is a huge part of Celtic Football Club, and they need to recognise that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Lorenzo, I'm sure you agree with a lot of what Brian is saying in terms of the impact that this will have on the club going forward, and also obviously what it means to have got there up to this point, especially during such a tumultuous period.
Yeah, I mean, it shouldn't have needed necessarily such an amazing achievement, but you know, in real terms, this is a validation of the women's team to a lot of people, to a lot of fans who would maybe look at the women's team casually or not even care.
Yeah.
Now, we're in Champions League football, you know, you might get a lot more people caring about it, tuning in, coming to the games if they put Champions League games at Celtic Park. And yeah, as Brian said, it's a validation of the team and Fran's management, mm-hmm. and what they can achieve if backed. And again, sometimes you need to fight through this adversity and deal with the lack of investment or the lack of playable pitch to kind of show people what you're capable of and show that this is something you should care about. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like breaking a little ceiling, a little barrier between maybe fans that don't care about women's football or even people at the club who don't necessarily care about women's football. So it's mm-hmm. an enormous achievement.
Yeah. I mean, Lindsay, Brian and Lorenzo have touched on two really big things there. There's so much that surrounds this achievement. Whatever happens in Champions League, we've got there. So even, you know, we'll talk a little bit about what the path might look like in a minute, but in terms of, like Lorenzo said, exposure, in terms of getting backing from the club, but we've also, it's a kind of really interesting point from now which to build with recruitment, with how they train, with where they train, with having to figure out what the timing of the season looks like, because obviously they now have extra European games to fit into their schedule. What do you think that means for Celtic going forward into the season ahead?
It's profile. It's just bigger, better. Yeah, that's what it is. It attracts bigger, better. Well, it should do. That should be the selling point now. We've got something to sell. Uh-huh. We've got something to sell to supporters. We've got something to sell to our club and our investors. We've got something to sell to potential new signings. Uh-huh. And youth players as well, mm-hmm. and that's a big thing as well. We can probably attract much better youth players or the best youth players by saying what you know, flying this flag in front of them saying big Champions League stuff happening. It's just profile for me. I don't know so much about the finance. I was trying to figure it out there. I can't really make head or tail it in terms of what it means for teams at our early stage of the tournament. So I don't know from that standpoint, but at the end of the day, the Champions League's a big deal.
Yeah.
It's a big deal. And people want to be a part of it.
I was going to say financially, it will obviously bring in some extra money to kind of support the team and also the league, because there will be payments to other teams in the league based on performance of Glasgow City and Celtic in Champions League football. I think having done some digging as well, I spent quite a long time looking into this yesterday, and I don't think the numbers are out there yet, really. We're not dealing in huge amounts of money. Like, this isn't going to be hugely transformative, because obviously there are costs involved in being in Europe as well. So a lot of that will be offset by some of the money that is coming in. However, the prestige of it and the meaning of it is so big that hopefully it is something to build on. And it would be great to see UEFA and the game putting more money in year on year. And if we can keep creating these achievements, then that can only be a good thing for the game, really. In terms of what it means for the actual path, so just for those people listening, we've all been trying to figure out, it's quite complicated. There was some chat going on the WhatsApp before. I was looking at this yesterday, so I'm going to try and explain it and see if you all agree with me that this is what will happen.
I agree. In advance, I agree.
So we, as runners-up in our league, Celtic will go into, there's two paths to the group stage, the champions path and the league path. We are in the league path as runners-up. So along with other runners-up from other leagues and the top six leagues also get a number three. So their third team goes into round one of the league path. So that is 16 teams, four little mini tournaments happen. The winner of all of those four tournaments then goes into round two of the league pass. So you have to win your wee group to get through to that section. Then from there, you join the runners up of the top six. So then you've got 10 teams who play home and away legs, and five of those teams then go through to the group stage. Does that make sense?
That was expert, by the way. That
totally
was,
deserves a round of applause.
That makes sense.
Yeah. I'm some applause.
You just have to win your wee league.
That's all you have to do. Easy peasy. No, I mean, the other thing is to bear in mind, you know, some of the people, or the teams going into that league path as well. So the number three teams from the top six, you've got Arsenal, you've got Bordeaux, you've got... I'm just looking at the other names of the other runners up as well. You've got Milan, PSV. There are big teams in there. So like, we are very inexperienced in European football. So I don't think any of us are going in with like, we obviously want to win and we obviously want to do well, but we also recognize that this is the very early stages, I think, Lindsay, of our European career.
Yeah, so I wrote down quickly league path avoids and probably could have put the whole list down. And it's just through experience. Like right away, I noted Arsenal because I know of Arsenal. I know how well they play. They have some absolutely like world-class players. I know I've mentioned it a million times, but Viviana Medema, even though I always pronounce her name wrong, and I apologise for that, but...
She needs a nickname,
Lindsay. She's world class. Yeah. Would you say that?
She needs a nickname.
She does, doesn't she? Wee Viv. and Lisa Evans, the world class. Like she really, really is. She's away with Poland now, playing. And yeah, so they were writing the list straight away, but I thought I'll look at the ones that are kind of, you know, the teams that we do it ourselves, like you do it with the men's teams as well, and you go, "Oh, I've never heard of them. We'll play them. That'll be grand." And then they come and they tank us. So I looked at Valour, I looked at Zurich. These are still kind of big names, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And Brøndby, and all of these have either reached like the last 32 stage, or they've played in the semi-final of the UEFA Women's Cup just a few years back. So they're very experienced. Rosenberg as well. It's exciting. I think it's exciting. The thing that I love about it, as much as it is pure mangled and it's absolutely a tonto sort of path to the Champions League, I kind of enjoy that it's like a little mini Champions League. Like it's actually going to feel like the Champions League without it being the official, you know, actual tournament. And I like that. I think that's a nice, it's going to be a good experience for the players. We're getting three games instead of one.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which I think, I don't know, there's something really, really good about that. I think, you know, it's like value for money, even though we've not paid a thing to it yet. But you know what I mean? You're like getting a full set, free for the price of one, because you would usually just expect to play one game home and away and that's your whack and that can be it for the whole year. That's a highlight. Whereas we're going to get three pops at it. And I think that's what a learning curve to go and do that for the players as much as anything else. But yeah, there's some really big hitters, despite it being the league path. There's some real, real quality in there. But you know what? I can bring them on, man. I've witnessed Celtic beating Barcelona 2-1. So who cares?
Yeah.
He's Arsenal.
Lorenzo, we've mentioned it before. Bring Barcelona to K Park.
Yep. If they can handle it.
How do you feel like this side is going to go in Europe? I feel like personally, they've got that dogged determination that means that whatever happens, they are going to give it their absolute best shot. And Fran is going. Fran is going to know what to do as well. I have that trust in him as well.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to be underdogs. As Lindsay said, this is our Champions League. You know, if we get through this league path, then it's beyond what you could imagine at the start of season. So this is our Champions League, and we have all the kind of, despite, you know, being a dominant team in our league, we have all the makings of good European underdogs. We have a lot of determination. We've got an experienced coach who's been around the block, and we've got set pieces. You know, so we've got a great back line. We've got great set pieces. We've got a lot of pace in the wings, and we've got a very committed team. So we are set up to be European underdogs. So as Fran, you know, implements the Rangers tactic, that counter-attack he does explicitly against the Huns, I feel like 9 points are in order from this little stupid bit.
I mean, the other thing is, I couldn't see any evidence of seeding in those draws. So it will depend on who we get in those draws as well. It could be a horrific group, or it could be
the group of death.
Yeah. So it'll be, I think the draw for that is on the 2nd of July, as far as I can tell. So we will be watching out for that and obviously reporting back on what the outcome is.
Sorry, the thing that was getting to me, because I just like to know, because I'm nosy and I'm getting excited about it, but there's no venue as yet as well, because I genuinely think if we're allowed, I might go.
Yeah.
And there's no venue, and that's annoying.
We will also keep our eyes on that. And as soon as any information is coming out about this, we will obviously be looking for it and sharing it with as many people as we can, because it is huge and it is really exciting. Just to finish off, I mean, we'll probably talk about the Champions League and all that, because obviously when it comes to the games and stuff, but just looking ahead, say, sort of a year, Brian, what are you most excited about for this Celtic women's team based on the year we've just had?
The continual development, not just of the team, but of Franz Klauber on the sideline, because that's, again, another highlight of this season. But no, I think what we need to remember is this season has been so interrupted as well. So as much as Franz had an opportunity to work with the players, he also missed a massive chunk of that. So if you think they get, you know, a proper pre-season behind them with some new recruits, and again, more time to implement and develop Franz's ideas, you know, build that, or continue to build on that great bond that the team have, as well as having experience against European opposition. Because one of the things that affects the men team is always, we say that, you know, because how uncompetitive our domestic league is, it maybe affects us in Europe. I actually think, you know, Celtic, we play against Glasgow City, who I think, I had a look earlier on at UEFA rankings, they're ranked 16th in the UEFA rankings. I think last year, Lindsay, you might correct me, I think they got the quarterfinals of the Champions League. Glasgow City are a quality team. We compete against them, and I think, you know, we compete well. And that stands us in good stead, I think, for going out these European games. I've already convinced myself we've reached the Champions League group stages, ignoring the facts of the first round. I'm saying we're in the Champions League group stages. but this is an exciting team. And a year ahead, I think we're going to be even more buzzing about this, because you can see it. You can see what Fran Alonso tries to do with that team. And actually, one of the big things for me is, you always say it about Celtic, you always see young players coming through. You want players that's going to come through, you know, the youth teams, into the academy, into the first team. We don't get to see it that often. Like Lorenzo said earlier on, Jack Aitchison, one game and then he's punted out. I think the Celtic women's team is going to be, we're going to have that pathway, and we're going to benefit from it long term.
Mm-hmm. Lorenzo, same question for you. What's the thing that you're thinking about in the next year and kind of gets you excited to keep watching Celtic?
Like Brian said, an unbroken season. You know, we've seen such an improvement in such a short space of time, in such a messed up world, let alone season, you know, such like a hard time to develop players and develop bonds. So yeah, having a full season with Fran and the team, and then getting to watch them, you know, I'm excited to go watch them again. I got one game in before COVID, and that was a fucking year and a half ago. which is crazy, but just getting to watch this team play, and again, falling more for this team that we've all fallen for really, really fast, and all these new players. Yeah, and winning the league, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be amazing to also, because obviously when we've been able to send people to the games, it's been one of us at a time. So, you know, it was a bit of a treat for Lindsay and Erin to be able to go together. But when we can all go as a big gang, I'm excited for that.
Yes.
Lindsay, what are you looking forward to?
That was mine, getting fans in. I think people will be shocked at the number of people that I think are actually really interested to go along and see this. Uh-huh. And to see the girls play. When I turned up for the Hibs game at Pennycook, that was a good crowd, man, like it was. I think we'll see the same things at Kay Park when the lassies have a home game. So I'd love to see that. Yes, us all getting to a game would be some buzz. Me and Erin only squeezed in 2 pints and then get sent up the road because the cut-off was 10:30. We thought it was midnight. We were just getting into it. I was like, right, let's go get another round. And the lassie rang the bell and I was like, you've got to be kidding me on. So we had to scramble to get taxis. But it was good. It was really good to have somebody else there and somebody that, you know, your mate, and just talk about the game and enjoy a wee pinto at the end, which was lovely. So... yes, definitely that. Meeting up with your pals and going to the game. And having a proper crack at it next year with new recruits and winning said title.
Yes, hopefully it can happen. I mean, there's so much more to discuss. We'll be doing another wee show, sort of looking over this, doing a bit of a season review, I think, in the next couple of weeks. Hopefully we will have Erin Connolly back with us at that point. Shout out to Erin. But until then, it's been an absolute joy to be able to talk about this because it's been such a huge part of all of our kind of weeks, every week for such an intense period of time. Like, obviously, probably worse for the players, but I think we've done quite well to get through it as well. it's been great to talk to you all about it. Thank you so much for being back with us, Brian McManus.
Thanks for having me. Loved every minute of it, and it's a great way to spend a Saturday morning just hanging out with you guys.
Yeah. Lorenzo Petutti, you're dashing off to work.
Yes, making pizzas all day, and then watching Belgium put my coupon up tonight.
Yeah, I will be watching the Belgian game as well. And Lindsay Hamilton, of course, thank you very much for being here.
Mate, this has been a terrific start to my day because I am meeting my best mate this afternoon and we are going to get Gillian McKeeft absolutely steaming drunk pished. So looking forward to that. I've really enjoyed this, so thank you.
Great. Excellent. We will speak to you all very soon. And yeah, get voting for Lisa Robertson in whatever thing that you see her being available to vote for. But I have been your host, Claire Wilde. This has been the Celtic Women's Football Show, and we'll speak to you very soon.